Welcome to the Rooted Moms Podcast, a space where we encourage and equip you on your journey to becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ. Together, we'll unpack a relatable, real mom life topic in the light of biblical truth. While motherhood may be complicated, we believe growing in your faith doesn't have to be. So let's open up our hearts as we dive into today's podcast with your host, Brittany Marlowe.
So welcome to the Rooted Moms Podcast. We're super excited for season two. We have Greg and Susan Finke on with us today to discuss their book, Joining Jesus as a Family. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, well, thanks for having us, Brittany.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about yourselves, who you are and how you kind of got into ministry work?
Yeah.
Well, Greg has, we met in college and we were both headed towards ministry work when we met. He was a pastor for of a congregation for almost 30 years. And I was a kids and family ministry director for 20 years and a teacher before that. So we've always had a heart for ministry and a heart for families. And our own family, we have three girls who are grown, two son-in-laws, and an adorable 2.5-year-old grandson. And our kids are 5 and 6 years apart. I was working with kids all the time, every day. And I thought, well, God knew I couldn't handle three toddlers or three teens at the same time. So he spread our kids out for us. So that was very helpful for me.
I love that.
Yeah. And then about 12 years ago, we stepped out of being the pastor and ministry worker in a local congregation and started being available and coming alongside congregations and leaders around the country and actually now around the world. So that's what we've been doing the last 12 years or so with that ministry called Dwelling 114, Dwelling 114.
Awesome.
114. Where the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And Jesus became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's how Eugene Peterson has that verse.
Mm-hmm. So you have a series of books, but what prompted you to write your Joining Jesus books, specifically Joining Jesus as a Family?
Yeah, well, the fast answer is that we launched the ministry. And one thing I knew about pastors and church leaders in general is they love to read and discuss, and they're very slow of actually doing. Mm-hmm. And yep. So I actually resisted writing any kind of a book because I really wanted to coach people in the doing of it. It's like, you know, we're in football season now, so it's like reading a book about football versus getting out on the field and actually practicing. And so right. I'm more of the let's get on the field and practice bent. But as we began doing this, it became clear that having things written down so people could review and absorb as well as put into practice, that we then wrote the first two books, which really follows the training that we offer to churches and their people. But as we found out very early on, there was a lot of interest in taking the work we had done on mission and discipleship and putting it in the context of family. And since really discipleship is what the family is designed for, it made a lot of sense for us. And it just took being shut down during COVID to actually get us to sit down and put words on paper.
I totally understand that. Rooted Moms, we started as a ministry kind of during COVID, and it just launched us so much more than it ever would have had COVID not happened. It's wild. But at the beginning of your book, you speak on the reactions of the men when you told them the subject of your book. Why do you think the idea of discipling our kids can be so daunting, and why we often leave it up to the church to do so?
Yeah, well, it comes from a fundamental misunderstanding about what discipleship is. Mm-hmm. For most people, discipleship equals scholarship, right? It's all about classes and Christian education, and all that's great. except that that's what discipleship is, then all Jesus had to do was tell his disciples to sit down and take really good notes. But it's much more than scholarship. It's actually relationship and lifestyle, right? Jesus needed to model and mentor them and what it looked like to put his teachings into practice for the good of others. And so if we as parents think discipleship is scholarship, immediately I think, hey, I don't know enough. I have questions, uncertainties. There's a lot of information in the Bible, right?
Right.
And so the smartest thing for me to do to, you know, kind of embrace my responsibility of raising my children to be followers of Jesus is to make sure I get them into the hands of a professional, right? A pastor or at least a youth worker that knows more about the Bible than me.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, that's not how discipleship works at all, right? And that's where we wanted parents to understand that whether they know it or not, and even whether they like it or not, they already are discipling their kids to be followers of Jesus, for better or worse, in how they live their life. Mm-hmm. That me delegating the teaching of the faith to someone else doesn't really override what they see as me living out my faith. And living out the faith then makes all the words about faith make more sense, right? But that's why parents don't need to be scared. It's not about knowing all the facts and figures of the faith. We can continue to partner with our congregations to help us out with that. But what we need to be clear on and therefore intentional about is how I live my life, because how I live my life is what my children are observing and absorbing. You know, they're watching and imitating and becoming a version of that. And so I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be a scholar. I just have to be a humble, joyful follower of Jesus that lives their life for the good of others.
Years ago, I mean, this was over 20 years ago now, we were pastoring a growing church that was growing with people who had not grown up in the faith and did not have Christian parents. And so the responsibility of that was like, oh, these parents have to learn right along with their kids. And we saw the benefit of them learning right along with their kids and putting this into their active lifestyle. And that's how we just saw it all play out. And it was just amazing. So
And that was long enough ago. Those parents that were just really learning the basics of God's word. They weren't scholars. They weren't, you know, the sharpest knives in the drawer theologically.
Oh, okay.
but what they were living, it was this new life, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, all out of a relationship of abundance with Jesus. And now it's really cool. We've been able now to kind of come back around, and now we're attending the weddings of some of these kids, and they're fired up followers of Jesus, even though their parents grew up without Jesus. But it's really about the lifestyle and that relationship that is already baked into the parent-child dynamic that we just need to trust and lean into.
I love that so much. You take such, it just seems so daunting as a parent. You know, you're raising your kids, you want them to be the best versions of themselves, but you make it seem so simple. And it can be if you let it. Kind of mentioned that we don't have to be scholars, like the way that we look at it. So the Bible can be hard for us as adults to understand sometimes. So what can we do to show our kids that it's okay to feel this way, as well as encourage ourselves that it's okay?
That's a question that obviously has layers that that are worthy of being answered. But the way that I think we got to start is the same way Jesus started. He never once pointed at a Pharisee and said, y'all better be as theologically astute as these guys. What he said is he pointed to a little child and said, you know, I'll need to be as humble and trusting as these little guys, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then Jesus himself, when, you know, again, the Pharisees, teachers of the law, come trotting up to him and they think they're going to trick him up. You know, they have 600 plus laws, right? Mm-hmm. And they say, Jesus, what's the most important law? And he goes, oh, boy, that's a tough one. and he sums it all up. And he says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, and he also says in another place, you know, all the Torah, the prophets and the writings. So that's the entirety of the Old Testament is really summed up in this. And it's the same thing. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. And so even though the Bible has 66 books, it has dozens and dozens of important characters and it's filled with all kinds of doctrine. I think what we need to remember is that Jesus himself sums it all up, that this is what it looks like to be discipled by me, John 13:35, how we love. And so that's what I like to tell people. If you pull all the facts and figures of the faith together, what does that really look like being lived out? Does it look like a fussy Pharisee sitting in a classroom? Or does it look like a child living freely in the abundance of what they have, looking for others to share it with?
Sometimes facts and figures cause fear that we don't know enough. And I just like to say, hey, we need to love God, love our neighbors, and have fun with it.
Yeah, I love that so much.
Yeah, that's Martin really Luther gave a little advice too. He's like, if you're reading the Bible and don't understand something, give honor to the Holy Spirit because he obviously had it put there. But, you know, give and then keep reading. Like, you know, today's not the day I'm supposed to understand this. And again, there are ways to overstate that, I realize. But I think it's really good that let's pay attention in God's word to what we do understand, because that's probably where the Holy Spirit's working on us at that time, rather than on something that we don't understand.
I love that so much because Rooted Moms has a Bible study guide that helps you read through the Bible in a year. And a lot of people are intimidated by that. And I grew up going to church since I was born. I have always considered myself a Christian, but I didn't read the Bible completely through for the first time until I was a part of Rooted Moms. And it just seems so scary when you start reading it and it's so easy to quit because you don't know what it's saying sometimes. Sometimes you read that day and you read two chapters and you're like, oh, I got it. And then you read the next chapter and you're like, I have no idea what any of that said. And I love that your encouragement on that to just encourage moms and parents and just to dig in, because sometimes you're not going to understand and that's okay. Just keep reading. That's, you know,
the one thing that I like to share both with young adults as well as, you know, people our age is, you know, the reality is Jesus says of the Old Testament, these are they that speak of me. And so if I'm kind of struggling through something in the Old Testament, Leviticus, Ezekiel, you know, name it, realize that everything is resolved in Jesus, right? So I don't get what's going on here in this passage or this chapter, but I can go, you know what? Ultimately, it's resolved in Jesus. So, you know, I can maybe wrestle with it. I can study it. I can dig into it. But if I forget that ultimately it's resolved in Jesus, right? That it's fulfilled in Jesus, it's taken care of in Jesus, it's solved in Jesus, and I know Jesus, so that's a good place to always end up. And you know, like Jesus said, you know, you just kind of take a deep breath, don't worry about things, right? Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in my Father, trust in me, and we're going to have a good thing going here.
I like to say too, that when we're reading in God's word and we don't understand it, but what do we hear Jesus speaking to us through, even though we don't get exactly what, you know, we don't have to know all that, but what is he giving to us as we're reading, and what are, you know, how is the Holy Spirit speaking to us? So we keep reading and keep going, and another day that passage that you read is going to mean something to you, even if it didn't today. And yet today, what is God giving you?
That's so good. So there is actually a quote in your book on page 47 to 48. It's kind of the bottom of page 47. And it goes along with what you were just speaking on it all kind of comes back to love. And I think it's such great encouragement for parents, for anybody who has really influence over a child's life or anybody else's life. Because as moms, you know, we never feel like we're doing enough. Like we, you know, we're not giving them enough vegetables. We're not giving them enough of our attention. We're just not doing enough. And the quote is, if present day Susan and Greg could sit down with their younger selves, we would tell them one more thing. We would tell them, you've got this. You really do. You've got this because Jesus has got you. Yes, keep your eye on the ball. Yes, do your best. But here's the bottom line. Jesus has already set you up to succeed in raising your child because he has already given you the most important ingredient for success, love. And love makes all the difference. I just felt like that. I actually, when I read that, I highlighted it. And then when I was going over my notes last night, I read it again. And I just felt like everybody should really hear that, especially what you just spoke on. But so our next question is from a mom in our community. And it's, as a young mom, I did what my parents modeled for me, took my kids to church each Sunday and expected outward Christian behavior. However, since I wasn't really a disciple myself, I missed the opportunity to disciple my children in those young, most impressionable years. Recently, I have been on a journey to become a fully devoted follower of Christ. Now that my children are older, two teens and a preteen, I'm recognizing many ways that I raised my kids to be good church kids, not actual Christ followers. How do I maximize my impact to help them live out a life on mission with Jesus with the little time outside of school hours and a few short years I have left?
Yeah, I'm so glad she asked that. And it's one of the things that we run into a lot when we are working with parent groups and even congregations in general that invite us in to do a family weekend is regret, right? It's like the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. Like I was distracted, or I just didn't understand what was at stake when they were younger, and now they're not, and it feels like kind of the die is cast. And there's a great quote that we found that says, basically, we can't go back and change the beginning of the story, but we can start where we're at and change the end of the story. And to put that into, you know, biblical words, it basically says it's never too late to, you know, repent, not so much repent from evil, but just turn around from, oops, that the way I was doing it is not the way it needs to be done. Repent. Mm-hmm. Receive that assurance from Jesus and then come follow him. And so we like to remind parents, grandparents, that the reality is that when we're reading the Gospels, we're reading Jesus re-discipling people that hadn't been discipled in the way that he was now leading them when they were young. When he was with Peter and Andrew, James and John, they had been raised just like this dear lady raised her kids. You know, they went to synagogue. They knew the Torah. They went through the rituals. They went to Jerusalem once a year. And yet Jesus had this new reality that he needed to disciple them in, that the kingdom of God had now gotten back into the world. And they knew how to go to church. They didn't know how to follow Jesus and be church, right? And so that's something that as we watch Jesus, yeah, it's always better to start when they're little bitty ones. But now that they're not, we can, first of all, influence our kids greatly by living that life of love, living a life that's changed. I think what parents need to be very careful of is not thinking they can change their kids with rules and law and you better live up to. That it doesn't change people. The law doesn't change people. And so being able to influence our kids by living that life ourselves and inviting them into something that's experiential, not just the facts and figures of the faith, as important as those are, not just the rituals of faith like worship and, you know, whatever other rituals we have that are important to us, but that, hey, let's go see who God's placed in our paths today that needs a little bit of what we've got. And then when we come back tonight, let's talk about what happened, right? Seeds were sown, what went poorly, and let's talk about that. What did we learn, and what are we going to do going forward? And now the faith is not just something that's kind of abstract and academic. Mm-hmm. It's about a relationship with Jesus as we head out every day, and it's never too late to start that pathway, but do it with joy. Don't do it with that sense of fear and urgency that too often takes over when we want to control them.
Well, and as far as regret goes, none of us are perfect parents. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect people. So we shouldn't have that expectation on ourselves. But I always told my kids, and, God gave you to me and me to you because he thought that was best for us in the kingdom. And it's not always going to be that we do everything right, but there's grace and there's love. And I remember when our third child was born, an older woman had written to me and she said, how wonderful that God entrusted you with another child. And I think of that for all of the people who are pouring into and influencing kids. Mm-hmm. Not just, but those that are influencing. God has entrusted you because he knew you would do a good job, you and him together. Yeah. So
not you as in I never have to grow or learn or mature, but as I'm learning, as I'm growing, as I'm maturing, I'm inviting my children to come on that journey as well. And I think that's, kind of, again, to keep it simple and clear that influencing our children. And when I say influencing, I mean, being that one that is key to their formation, especially now, let's say their high school and junior high, then we're going to have to really lean into what God says is the way that human beings are transformed. And it's through grace and truth, and us living out that, not just teaching it with our words, but showing them what a life of grace and truth looks like, that is out of abundance, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kind. This is fun. And if we're convinced of that, then the children will see that. And as we still have the opportunity to influence them daily, we say, teach them, show them, send them, and circle up with them. And we can unpack what that means. But the send them, you're sending them anyway. Why not send them with that sense of purpose that, hey, we get to be a reason something good happens in people's lives today. Let's go see what God's prepared in advance for this. And we'll come back later and we'll see what happened.
I love that so much. That was actually my next question. Could you kind of elaborate a little bit more on what you explain in your book, what teach them, show them, send them, and circle up means? Because I think that speaks to anybody who has influence. As Ritter Moms community, we have just such a diverse group of what a mom means. It may not be the traditional mother that you think of, but we just have such a diverse community of parents and who have influence over any child's life. So, what does it mean to teach them, show them, send them, and then to circle up?
Are you looking for biblical resources to engage your kids in God's word? Look no further. Rooted Kids exists to equip parents to disciple their children in a way that is simple, adaptable, and fun. Rooted Kids Bible guides go hand in hand with our Bible reading plans for moms, providing an easy way to invite your child along on your journey through God's Word. Rooted Kids guides are not a rigid curriculum, Rather, they provide a carefully curated assortment of activity options for families to choose from. Guides are currently available for our 12-week gospel plan, 20-week Acts and Epistles, and now our Bible in a Year plan too. The best part? These guides are completely free when you subscribe. Visit www.rootedmoms.com/kids to learn more today.
What does it mean to teach them, show them, send them, and then to circle up?
So let's start with the second thing you said first, which is that, okay, maybe I'm not their biological mom or dad. I'm the grandparent, or I'm a mentor, right? I think what we want to make sure we understand is that the more intentional time we can spend with them, and again, not in drilling them with facts and figures, but talking with them about what they do understand and what they're doing with it, that is very influential because it shows that they have value, that God's love and truth is already part of their lives, and that as a whatever year old they are, that they have great value to others. And if we can do that as parents, certainly, but grandparents, mentors, and the more we can do that, just spending that quality time. You know, we talk with so many people whose parents maybe weren't, as present or as godly as they would have liked, but they talk glowingly about their grandparents, about their mentor. And even though they were overcoming some things that were deeply rooted in their relationship with their parents, God used those relationships to help them see that there was much more than they had maybe settled for or thought that, you know, that was all there was. And that influence is wonderful. That time spent is always going to be very valuable. So I want to encourage those dear people that are wondering if that's enough. It's huge. Now with the teach them, show them, or send them and circle up with them, we were looking just for, you know, we have over and over again people that are going, you know, crazy lives, crazy schedules. What's something simple? Because if it's not simple, we can't do it. What's simple to weave into this crazy life we've got? And, you know, for us, that was really part of, because with joining Jesus on his mission, which is part of, that's the first book and what we do with churches all the time. That's the whole point. You know, the mission field isn't off someplace else. It's right in the middle of what you're already doing. And so it's about being aware and intentional right in the middle of the crazy, busy lives we're leading, because God's already there and preparing things and preparing people. So the teach them, show them, send them, circle up with them is really just stealing Jesus' discipling process.
His rhythm.
His rhythm of discipling, and then saying, how can we do this as a family? And so the teach them, you know, that's like we said earlier in the podcast, it is about the facts and figures of the faith, but that's where we can really partner with our congregations, with our children's ministries, youth ministries. But one thing I want parents to understand is while they will not be able to convey all the facts and figures of the faith, I mean, I've been a pastor for, you know, 34 years, and I'm still learning about the facts and figures of the faith, right? But what our children need to be taught by us is, why do I trust and follow Jesus? That's what they need to hear. They can learn about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from the preacher. They can learn about, you know, various doctrines and life applications from their ministry leaders. But what they need from you and me is to know why. Why do you trust and follow Jesus?
Our own stories of what God has done in our life. Just like in the Bible, when they would put the stones down and so that it would be there to tell the next people coming through, this is what God did here. And as we are sharing the stories of what God has done in our life and why we trust and follow him, that's helping show our kids as well.
So the teach them is very much about that, and then also reminding them of those things that we talked about in the book, you know, our true identity in Christ, our value to others in Christ, and our purpose in Christ. And if we can just kind of keep those three things clear and simple, and reminding our kids of that, because their little spirits need to be reminded. They're a beloved child of the Heavenly King. You've got a superpower of God's love that you get to go use on others today. And that's our purpose, right? No matter how good or not so good they might be at this or that or the other, this is what we're really here for. And so that's the teaching. And then the show-em, of course, is I need to live this life myself, because they're
watching what we do, yeah, more than listening to what we say.
Yeah. And so the deepest impressions and memories and formations are in how my parents live. So show them what it looks like to live a life of love. Show them what it looks like to be humble and go, "What, man, I really screwed that up." Show them what it looks like to lean in and trust the Lord in difficult situations, and what it looks like to laugh, and what it looks like to practice hospitality. You know, just the joy of being a follower of Jesus. Show them that. Because the austerity, the rule keepers, the Pharisaical spirit is way too prevalent in the North American church. And so we want to not only teach them, we want to show them. And then send them, like we said, we're already sending them to school, sending them to practice, sending them to daycare. Send them with a sense of purpose, that everything we're talking about, hey, you're a little follower of Jesus too. And he's preparing things in your life today. Look for those other people that need a little bit of what you got. And we want them to gain their own experience, to have their own stories, because in the experiencing of it is the convincing of it. They can believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that everything we say is true, but it's experiencing it that convinces them that it's real. And so we want to make sure that we're enabling them to go into their day with that sense of purpose and clarity, because they're going anyway. They might as well have that fun. So that's the teach them, show them, send them. And then the fun part is circle up with them. Why don't you take over? I'm talking a lot.
Well, and that's just, you know, what happened today? What did you see? Where did you see God? And who did you talk with? We use the five practices, and we go over that with our kids, and we did it in our kids' ministries. But an easy way to circle up with the kids is to teach them first. But anyway, our five practices that that we can teach our kids is, one, look for God. Look for God today. And where do you see him, and what does that look like? Does it look like somebody who needs help? Does it look like somebody who's celebrating something? Is it with your little preschoolers? Where did you see God? Did you see the butterflies and the flowers today? So look for God. And then we say, listen to Jesus in his word. And that's where we are, in his word, and learning the Bible passages and singing the Bible passage songs, and what do we hear from Jesus in his word? And then, who did you talk with today? Who did you notice? Who did you sit by? What stories did you hear? What did you learn about somebody today? And then what good can you do? How can you be a blessing? So how do you serve someone today? How were you a blessing? And then how can we lift each other in prayer? So we teach those to our kids, and then we have that to go back to and talk about that night. And even our 2.5-year-old grandson, our daughter will ask him, we saw it on FaceTime a few weeks ago, and she just said, "Well, so Emerson, how are you a friend today?" And then Emerson, this 2.5-year-old, he puts his hand on her shoulder and said, "I did this to Quinn." So,
yeah. Actually, anyway, yeah. Actually, it was as Quinn was going to the bathroom, he was using the toilet for the first time, and my grandson was like, "Good job, Quinn."
But that's so sweet. You know, it's, you feel like you sometimes are over explaining or that you don't know how to explain. And that really simplifies, you know, I have a 3-year-old. And so trying to get her in the word can be, it can just feel so difficult. And that just makes it so simple. Even just, you know, how are you a friend today? Or like you said, did you see a butterfly in the flowers? Just looking for little things like that and teaching them that all those things are a part of the Bible and that they come from God. And that's how you can be in a relationship with him, is just to look for things throughout the day. I love that so, so much. That's, it's like I said before, you're taking things that we feel like is so difficult and that we need to over explain and hammer into our kids, and you're making it fun and joyful and simple.
Yeah. The circle up is just an encouragement, because we see Jesus doing that with his followers, right? There was so much going on that it was like everything could be a blur, right? Mark 6, there were so many people coming and going, they didn't have time to eat. Does that sound familiar? And so the circle up means, hey, what our experiences were today were so important that we need to take a little time to go, hey, how did it go? And, you know, and reflect and unpack and remember. And then, you know, maybe it's only in retrospect that we actually realize what God was up to in the middle of all that. But as we grow and mature, we start to recognize in real time, oh yeah, this is what's really going on. And frankly, a lot of times the children are ahead of us because they're forming and connecting. We're having to reform and kind of reinterpret things. So that circle up, and again, Susan said nighttime, but it might be as everybody's piling into the SUV after school and heading off to practice. Might be at dinner time, might be at bedtime. For my one daughter during her junior high years, it was during breakfast. She just, you know, the other two, they did not perk up at breakfast time, but it was just making sure that we valued that circle up time.
You did it with her at breakfast. I was doing it with her late at night. But and that's the other thing with your kids. You have to also look at what's a time for them and in their rhythms of life, not just necessarily a formal set time period. But yeah. Send them off with prayer in the morning and then talk about what happened when you get back together.
Mm-hmm. So very good.
I love that so much. And I think that it kind of teaches them to remember, you know, as they're looking for things, as they're looking for Jesus, it's just a reminder that they're never alone, that he's always with them. You know, they can always find him in things because that's easy to forget sometimes, that you're never alone. And when you're constantly looking and feeling his presence, you know that. But just thanks. Sorry, continue. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to share our youngest daughter. We heard her speaking to a group of adults when she was in college. And she said, I always knew to look for what God was doing and where he was because I knew my parents were going to ask me. And so I thought, well, she maybe didn't start with the right attitude, but that became her regular rhythm. And then she did continue to see God's hand in her daily life.
And I think for the parents and grandparents and mentors listening, the way you help children recognize what God's already up to in their lives is first by telling your own stories, right? Mm-hmm. And that circle up time is not just where I'm asking questions of them, but we all, I loved hearing the stories that my parents would tell, right? Mm-hmm. And it usually was how they met or, you know, different things back when, but hearing the stories of what happened today and how their little minds and their not so little minds start to go and make connections with what they've seen and heard. Now, all of a sudden, it's something that they have an object lesson, concrete. And it's because, you know, we shared our stories and now they're like, ah, well, something like that kind of happened to me. So anyway, that's something that a lot of times if we just come in and ask them questions, it can feel like they're being drilled, right?
Yeah.
Rather than, hey, here's what happened today. What happened? You know, here's my story. What's your story? And after a while, it really just kind of, maybe every family isn't like ours, but if it becomes ours, it also can be chaotic because everybody's like, I want to tell my story. And it's not like you're having to prime the pump anymore.
Yeah. I love that. And when you just ask them, you know, how was your day? What did you do? They're always like, I don't know. I don't remember. And so I love those kind of specific questions and preparing them in the morning to like, hey, like, you know, how can you be a friend today when you're out on the playground, you know, look around you and see what you see, see what your friends are doing, see how you can help them out. And then tell me about it when you get home. Cause I know my daughter, she gets in the car and she's like, I don't remember. I don't know.
And one of our daughters, you know, people say, well, what's your favorite part of school? Or what was your favorite part today? And she hated favorites. You know, it's like, no, I can't pick a favorite, but if you tell, just tell me about it, then it's okay. So you have to kind of see where your kids are at and how they like to process. So
One of the other things, especially as they're getting a little older, is also to help them recognize that when something not so great happens, you know, they're irritated by somebody or even hurt or betrayed by someone, that's an opportunity for us to put our Jesus training into play, right? And so that's really helpful too. We had, we put this in the book, but a family down in Cypress, Texas that we met, they summed it up with, joy, junk, Jesus. So they would talk about, hey, what made you smile today? Or how'd you make somebody smile today? Junk was, hey, what wasn't so great today? Either something that happened to you or maybe, you know, something you did that makes you not feel so great. Because that allows them, we can celebrate then, you know, the good stuff. We can kind of have a little confession and forgiveness for what wasn't so great. And then, you know, and then Jesus is, so what was Jesus up to in the middle of that? And it's really cool because children, again, if we are intentionally consistent about this, they very quickly start connecting the dots between, you know, what they're seeing and experiencing and the presence and activity of Jesus. You know, and then when we're reading our Bibles or our Bible stories, you know, now they're making that concrete connection between, it's not just something Jesus did 2000 years ago, but he's still doing it today.
Yes.
And as these kids are growing up, I mean, this is where it's just on our hearts to have kids be able to, just not to have to be re-discipled, but to start like you with your kids are a perfect age where this can become normal. And when you're sharing the stories as a family, then it's easier for them to share the stories with their friends and in the future too of how God is working. And when you are praying with them and they are praying for you and you praying for their sister or brother and going around, well, then they're going to grow up praying aloud and be more willing to pray with others later. They won't be afraid. Like so many people are, you know, oh, I don't pray aloud. I'm not going to, you know, it has to be the pastor or the Bible study leader, but we want our kids to be doing that all along.
It builds a confidence in them that I think a lot of adults, I mean, I know for me, I grew up in the church, but I never, you know, this wasn't a part of my childhood rhythm to come home and speak about where I saw Jesus, or it wasn't a practice where I just went to school and prayed over people. And it's not something I learned until way later in life. And it's definitely something that I want my kids to know and feel comfortable in and feel like, you know, it's just, it would just be such a normal thing for them to go to school and, you know, maybe one of their friends is having a bad day and them to be like, well, let me pray over you. I want that to just feel like they can just do it and that they are equipped to do it because they are. And they just need to, you know, step into that. So I love that you have given us, it feels like it should be so difficult and it doesn't have to be.
And Brittany, one last word of encouragement, and it's part of the overall kind of formula that we talk about in the book. But for those people that do have the kids that are older, right? They're already in high school. They're in junior high. You kind of feel like the clock is ticking. It's that chapter on It Takes a Village. And the reason that I bring that up now is that, you know, to surround our kids at especially as they're going into junior high and senior high with people that can be mentors that are verifying and reinforcing and even giving a different look to what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And children need that anyway. You know, they get to that point where they start to differentiate and it feels like they're rejecting us. They're not rejecting us. They're just looking for verification and reinforcement. Is this crazy or is this actually a good way to live? And so being able to have, you know, coaches or teachers or mentors in whatever way to be able to start to build into the high school and junior high kids, that's a good formula anyway, an important formula anyway, but certainly a great way to take advantage of those last year or two or three. And even as they go off to, you know, their first years of either some kind of a trade or to college, you know, that they are allowing or seeking out, you know, peers and mentors that can really make a difference in their lives too. And so by no means are we like, did we blow it? Like there's, I'm all done. Nope. You can't change the beginning of the story, but we can change the end of the story starting today.
We had a couple in our congregation in Michigan years ago who felt like they had one son and they felt like they hadn't put God as a priority when he was growing up. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to make a difference in kids' lives. And they were really influential in our kids and also other church families. And the really neat thing is we saw them growing and pouring into other kids. And we were walking alongside life together and saw their adult child come to the Lord as well. So it's never too late.
I think that is just the perfect ending to our episode today, is that it's never too late to join Jesus as a family. And I'm just so grateful that I've had the chance to speak to both of you today. I just really, really think your book and the heart behind it is really going to hit home with our community. So thank you so much for taking the time today to be on the Rooted Moms podcast. We always like to ask our guests if they would to pray over us before we end. So would you mind praying before we wrap up?
And thank you for your ministry. What an awesome ministry and pouring into those who pour into kids.
Thank you so much.
You want to pray for them?
Lord, you are an awesome God, and you know the end from the beginning when we don't. And we thank you that you do, and that you are in control. We thank you for setting an example for us in the rhythms of life as in Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the kids that you have placed in our lives. Thank you for entrusting them to us. Lord, give all of these people, all of us, and these women, give them wisdom and joy as they influence and imprint eternity with their influence in the kids. This day, Lord, we look for you, we praise you, and we thank you. And we just love you, Lord. Help us to love others like you love us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a part of the Rooted Moms podcast today. We would love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram. Find us there by searching Rooted Moms. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button below so you never miss an episode. Rooted Moms provides practical tools, community, and encouragement that equip moms to become rooted in Christ. Connect with us and learn more at www.rootedmoms.com. We'll see you next time.